I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So, in this book, we're supposed to be going to a war. There will be swearing.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today, we're reading Chapter 2 of Battle Magic.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's tell you what we've seen.
Okay, guys, so this is what we've seen. We have seen Evie bitch about her clothes. We've seen Parahan, who is a slave of Emperor Weishu. We've seen him flirt with Rosethorn, and then we've seen an army. Done.
That's our summary.
Wow, that was a lot. And that
That's our summary.
That's the whole summary.
Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter. I feel like we need to start with Parahan.
I love him.
I think he's great. He's funny.
Does anybody think he's going to turn out to be a villain yet?
No.
As long as he's got those chains on him, probably not.
I'm like, I feel like we need to like start like a poll or something and be like, what's the likelihood you think he's going to be a villain? What's the likelihood you think he's going to die?
I think he's going to die. There's a war going to happen. So, you know. Just
statistically, you know.
He's a prisoner. Who cares about prisoners during war? So.
That's a good point. There is a war. So, like, the likelihood that anyone who is going to die aside from Briar, Evie, and Rosethorn is pretty damn high.
He's pretty great. For being a prisoner, he's pretty upbeat.
Like, he's remarkably chill.
He's so chill. And he's just cracking jokes and stuff. Like,
he's a
okay.
He gives me kind of Uncle Iroh vibes, actually.
Yeah.
Not completely, but a little bit.
The first thing I thought of when I like read him, you've heard of like a gilded cage keeping someone trapped somewhere. So nice, but they can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never heard of golden shackles, and I don't know where to go from there. It's such a weird... He seems surprisingly chill to be there, but also he is very clearly being
stuck
kept there. They must be treating him pretty good, right?
It tells us a lot about the Emperor, though. Because we haven't really met Weishu yet. We've like kind of seen him from afar. But he keeps his like prized slave, because he says like I'm the newest entertainment or something.
Yeah.
So he keeps his prized slave in golden chains. That tells you a lot about like his wealth and his like flaunting of stuff. I mean, he also, you know, is like, come see my army. So yeah.
One of several.
No, he's like
one of several.
He's like, come visit me. I know that you came all this way, but you're gonna see my army first. Mm-hmm. And I'll decide to see you when I decide to see you.
Yeah. Who has other things they want to talk about?
The discomfort Evie feels riding on the palanquin. Palanquin?
The audio pronounces it palanquin. But I'll I don't know.
Yeah,
audiobook narrators pronounce things wrong, so who knows?
Yeah. I like that she was just like, it's a skull thumping honor in quotes is the way it's described, which yeah, she fucking hates that shit. Like, it's awful to her.
I mean, yeah.
I'd feel awkward if someone made me ride four other dudes.
Try that again.
Good way.
If I were put on a palanquin, the riding majig, and had to be carried by four dudes,
there you go.
I would feel very bad about it.
I mean, yeah, it's basically a box being carried by people.
Yes.
Which would probably not be a comfortable ride. Like, first off, box likely not all that comfy to begin with. And then she talks about how like hot and stuffy it is because there's no airflow. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, if you're being carried by people, that's gonna be bumpy.
Yeah.
Because they're not all gonna be the same height, they're not gonna have the same gait. And then there's a part where she's like, oh, we're going upstairs.
So you're just gonna and it's bad for the people carrying them. That's just I you know, the idea that they're obviously either slaves or that low of a class to where you're stuck hauling a box around full of people. It just feels shitty. And Evie has been down there and she's like, this is awful. I don't like this.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it just makes me think of specifically the scene in Howl's Moving Castle, like the movie, where the Witch of the Waste is riding in the thing and they hit the boundary, the no magic boundary, and then they all start to like sink and dissolve and she just like falls out. That's what my brain thinks of. That's immediately where my brain went when I read that. I was like,
yeah. I mean, I get that, like, this is before we have like cars and shit, so like, if you don't want to walk, the best way is to just get someone to carry you.
There are such things.
Yeah, there's horses. But yeah, again, that and like, I think the window coverings to keep like people from staring in,
mm-hmm,
also kind of tell you a lot about the Emperor. Like, he wants things done a certain way, even if they're awful to both the people riding and the people carrying them.
Mm-hmm.
He does not care.
Yeah, it's almost like Evie and Rosethorn are this like little packaged gift that no one gets to look at until he does.
Yeah.
That is exactly how it reads.
Going back to Parahan, just it's such an evocative like image of seeing like a guy in a white robe come up to you and say like, "Hey, I'm your tour guide," and he's literally chained to himself with golden chains, and you're looking at that and you're like, is that going to happen to me? Is that like how does he get to that point? What did he do wrong? Or like, it's just like an awful mental image to think about. Just like,
especially if you've just been in a box carried by people.
Yeah. It's like, is that going to happen to me? If I'm entertaining enough or important enough, will I be stuck here and have chains on me as well and have to be cheery and stuff to the next person that comes in? It's just,
or if I'm bad enough.
Well, if you're bad enough, you probably just get killed. Well, I don't know. But yeah, it makes you think. I don't know. It's awful.
Now, what type of punishment or reward is this?
Yeah. Because it's hard to tell.
I have to say, the sentence that describes him, the way his clothes are described, it's like a loose garment-like something or other pair of breeches or something. And you guys heard me stumble over it about 18 times when I was reading it. But I still, like, I can't imagine it in my head because of, like, all the weird adjectives on there. So I'm not entirely sure what he is wearing.
I literally pictured, like, fucking Hammer pants. Like, MC Hammer pants.
That's
like
probably just poofy white.
But, yeah, that's just me. Evie gets to see Boom Dust for the first time. And we get to see it for the first time in, like...
It's Chris's book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a pleasant experience for Briar.
Briar is not very happy about seeing it again.
Not a good time.
And we get a different name for it.
I can't remember what it was, but yeah, it's just the quote of, they made it, so I'm sure they can call it whatever they want.
Yeah.
Zayao. Z-A-Y-A-O.
But I like this because, like, obviously this is, like, heavily inspired by, like, Imperial China, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, this is where fireworks came from. Mm-hmm. So I like the addition of, like, oh, P.S., this is where fireworks came from. It's a nice little, like, historical nod. That reminds me a little bit of the chain in Triss's book.
Kind of linking it to our world a little bit. You know a team is on the good side when they all yell death to the enemies of Yangjing.
Yeah.
You know they're going to be very reasonable.
Super chill. Nice,
super chill people that
will
be willing to talk things out and not
commit. Definitely not nationalistic zealots.
No.
Of course, if you're not a nationalistic zealot and you live in Yangjing, you'll probably be executed by the emperor. So
yeah,
you're better off this way.
Smuggle yourself out of the country.
Yeah, just walk out.
That would be a really interesting, like, side story to know, like, if there are people who are doing that who are like, I disagree with the emperor's bullshit and I'm trying to get out. Because, I mean, that's, like, real life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there are actually places where that kind of thing is happening.
It's happening in Russia right now. Ukraine as well. Like,
yeah. I know I said that phrase real dismissively, like, but yeah, no, really, like, that is essentially what refugees are, is they're, now, some of them are purposely displaced by people who shouldn't be in power, but we're not going to go there, we're just going to
continue. This isn't a political podcast, even though we're all on, yeah. Yeah,
we've gotten steadily more political as this series has gone on.
Yeah,
we started off like, Barrett, we're not going to go there, and now we're just like, you know what, fuck it.
Yeah,
but it would take an entire day to
to make a quote that literally none of y'all will understand. Let's stay on fun, happy topics like the death of Kurt Cobain.
I do want to give props to the Emperor for doing the thing with having them look at his armies, kind of douchey, but also a very effective way to govern, like, and to let other governments know what you're doing and what you're capable of. Just being like, hey, look at this army. I got like 5 other ones, but you can take a real close look at this one. Go home and tell people what you saw. Please don't fuck with us. It'd be nice if the Emperor wasn't a, you know, warmongering zealot, as far as I can tell.
But I think it's going to be... Sorry.
It kind of reminds me with, maybe not necessarily like the U.S. military, but like, especially with the proliferation of nuclear weapons, it's like, we have so many of them that, like, please don't fuck with us because we will literally end all life on Earth. Like, don't do it. Please.
I think it's going to be really interesting to compare Wei Shu with Baronine from Will of the Empress and kind of like the different ways that they... or possibly similar ways that they, like, manifest their power and go, no, I'm in charge, you are not. You know, because obviously, like, the kids in Will of the Empress weren't treated to an army viewing, but that whole, like, grand entrance and, like, presentation with the whole court, kind of similar in ways.
Yeah, you definitely want to, like, try to impress, you know, a potential competitor in the future, like, to make it seem that it's not feasible for them to win or to have more economic power than them or whatever the issue might be.
And even though we're only in chapter 2, this book is already showing us a lot of, like, because at the beginning of Will of the Empress, Briar makes comments about like not liking empires and all of this being bullshit. This is why.
Yeah.
Evie bitching about her clothes, 100%, like totally valid, 3 collars. I also have no interest in wearing 3 collars. Why would you ever need so many collars? I like her description of the steps.
They're old. So cute. Sweet.
Oh. Yeah. And they like talk to her for a bit and they're like, okay, we're going back to sleep now.
We're worn, but it's fine.
Yeah. Evie had survived on her own for years by avoiding powerful people.
Kid.
And then that sentence followed with, this trip to the Imperial Court was against every survival instinct she possessed.
Smart kid.
Foreshadowing, I think.
Maybe. Who knows? And then on the next page, she's looking at Rose Thorne because she's bitching to Rose Thorne, and Rose Thorne's like, chill out or whatever. And she says, Yan Jing has hungry ghosts that eat the insides of people and take their skins. Is that what happened to you? Is that why you're all calm? And this is very funny, but also like additionally just lovely world building. Evie starts behaving better because she sees the little like tendrils growing out of the palanquin, and she realizes Rose Thorne is not calm. This is an act. And so she starts like trying to act better so she doesn't stress Rose Thorne out. And then immediately Rose Thorne is like, are you ill? And like puts a hand to her forehead. And I was like, yes. Yes. I'm sure that Brittany can attest when they're quiet and when they're nice, it means they're sick. So we kind of talked about like horses versus the palanquin, because Rose Thorne and Evie have to be in the palanquin, but Briar gets to ride a horse and Evie's very jealous. And Rose Thorne's like, well, I'm sure we could have ridden horses too if we were in proper horse riding clothes. But then it describes Briar as dressed in robes, which don't seem like the best horse riding clothes to me. So I was like, but I don't know. I don't know enough about it. Let the record show Goodwin's face.
It is one of confusion. I know you can,
I'm
like,
terrified of horses, so.
So you'd rather be in the palanquin?
I'll walk. I got feet. I'm fine. I want to be carried by people. It sounds bumpy and miserable. And riding horses, that sounds awful too. Yeah, I'll walk.
That's because you have a fear of horses. That's totally different.
Yeah, that is
scary.
Brittany?
Yes.
How do you feel about boats?
Boats are okay.
So you're Daja.
I'm Daja, yes. Horses are terrifying. Daja got on the horse, though. Me? I don't know.
Why are you afraid of them? They only have giant teeth and big heads.
But they're vegetarians.
Horses can bite.
That's true. We had a couple horses, and one of them bit one of our dogs. To be fair, the dog was harassing it, and I don't think the horse bit hard. The horse didn't bite hard enough to like break skin or cause any massive damage, but enough to tell the dog to piss off. Yeah. The dog did. I wrote, Parahan, flattery will get you nowhere. I'll let Indy talk more about this because I know that they really liked this bit. But
I have comments.
But my favorite thing from Parahan in this chapter is that he completely pegs Briar. So we get to see Briar's tattoos again, and we get to see that it's not just his hands, that it's growing up his arms. And Parahan's like, now why would a young man like you want to tattoo flowers on his hands? Could it possibly be that you're a thief?
Shut the fuck up.
Briar has probably never been called out like that, like since he went proper.
Yeah. I love that his response was essentially, shut the fuck up. I'm more of a problem now than I was.
Which is true. He's much more of a problem now. And I'm sure we'll see that. I'm sure we'll see proof of that to come. But yeah, Goodwin's got a point in Street Magic when he shows the guards his hands. They're just like, what the heck is wrong with your hands? And he's like, can I go now? And they don't even think about like thief tattoos once they see them. And Parahan just immediately is like, ah, you're covering something up, I see.
He's sharp. Parahan's real sharp.
Except I wrote one more thing afterward. Because we can talk about this now. I think we're deep enough in. Back in season 5, when we read Magic Steps, there was a part where Pasco talks about Yasmin. Because
mm-hmm.
he's like super Yasmin fanboy. And I was like, oh, I need to remember to talk about this much later in the series. And he goes, what? Well, here it is. He says that Yasmin stayed in Yanjing for a year and danced only for the emperor. And he gave her a dress made of pearls.
I've been waiting for this!
So, I'm curious, now that we're starting to learn some things about the emperor, if how correct Pasco's version of the story is. I mean, you know, because, like, Goodwin was talking about gilded cages. Like, because when I read that this time around, I was like, huh. Did Yasmin really stay because she wanted to? Or how much pressure was there on her?
Yeah.
From the emperor to stay there?
A dress made of pearls sounds like a really good carrot, but where was the stick? Like,
I don't know, the dress made of pearls also sounds like a stick. I wouldn't want to wear a dress made of pearls. Sounds heavy.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I'll just put that bug in your ear and maybe we'll talk about it more in the future. But yeah.
So I like that we're going back to the change of perspective a lot.
Third person?
No, like the
oh yeah.
Bouncing from perspective of characters. Because that's delightful. I love that so much.
Spoilers, this is a really good book for that.
Okay, am I hallucinating? Didn't Rose Thorn mention something about being, and I put in quotes because I don't remember how legitimate it was, but being procured and having to live in a palace?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like she did say something about that at some point.
And I want to say it was in Melting Stones.
I thought it was
or not Melting Stones.
Street Magic.
Street Magic. Yeah, that's the one I meant. Yeah.
There's definitely some, I don't remember for sure about like being procured and having to live in a palace, but there was definitely something in Street Magic about not liking palaces and rich folk and stuff because of things that had happened in her past. And that it might be specifically that, because we discussed that at length in one of the chapters.
Yeah. So is this why she's like, mind your manners, blend in, don't get attention drawn to you. If you pay, like, if you mind your manners, they will ignore you. Like,
I mean, Evie and Briar and Rosethorn all have quite a bit in common in this area with, like, I don't want to deal with rich people.
Yeah.
Right? They know how dangerous rich people are.
It says Evie talking to the stairs, and then I drew a heart. It says, Evie, you need to be nervous. Be aware, be smart, because her being like, I don't want to do this. I don't like rich people. I don't want to be around these people. Yeah, you're smart. I know you brought it up in yours, Molly, but the Yangxin has hungry ghosts that eat their insides of people and take their skin. Lovely. Love this.
What a very specific supernatural threat.
Very specific and concerning. Yeah. Let's go with concerning. And then Evie equates makeup to tumblers. I wonder if tumbler, like tumblers as an act, are covers for sex workers.
It reminded me of the tumblers in what was the one with Triss and Nico?
Shatterglass.
Shatterglass. Some of them were, I believe. So
yeah. But is that what it is correlated to? Like, we equate certain things to certain jobs, even if they are two different things, and there is some legitimacy to the actual job itself.
Or even like in Sherlock Holmes, the original Scandal Bohemia with Irene Adler, she's an actress, but being an actress is kind of a scandalous thing to be. And she's probably not like sleeping around with people aside from the guy she's in love with, but like it's kind of scandalous to be an actress. So it might be something similar. Like,
yeah, I was thinking something like that, like, oh, she's a hussy, you know, like shaving your legs or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that used to be.
So like, is it kind of the hush hush mention of that she can get away with? You know what I mean? I just thought that was interesting, just because Evie, don't be like that. Okay, here we go. First one of page two is, bruh, don't flirt with Rose Thorn. Lark might be the one who bites this time.
Oh, yeah.
Grr.
I was just thinking, like, if you tell Rose Thorn, oh, I can't imagine a rose such as beautiful as yourself would have any thorns at all. Like, bullshit. Like, she's not going to fall to your bullshit.
Oh, no. She won't.
She will show you her thorns.
But also, I can just see Lark being like, fine. Only wow. I get to talk
Rose
to
Thorn gives one of her little teeth grins. She just shows her teeth.
I love that image, actually.
Yeah. I put down Boom Dust just because, like, I do appreciate the bringing it back, and also the conversation of just, you know, I think they get to name it since, you know, they're the one who made it. Just saying.
Fair.
It says, I also think Briar's tattoos are splendid, Evie.
Yes, they're so great.
So here's a little bit into the psyche of tiny baby Indy. Street magic made me want to get my first tattoo.
Aww.
Wow.
Because I wanted to get like the flower, mm-hmm. right? That was originally one of my first thoughts was, I could do that. And everybody's like, don't get tattoos on your hands. You'll never get a job. Don't get one on your neck.
I have one, but I would have so many more if they actually moved like that in real life. Yeah. Like, moving tattoos, that's really fucking cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
I think if they actually moved like that in real life, lots of people would have more, and they might be just more acceptable. I suddenly want to create a world now where, like, just moving tattoos are the norm and, like, everybody has tattoos.
Big sisters do be like battle cats. As both the oldest and the youngest, depending on which side. Yeah, no, big sisters do be like battle cats.
I don't know about y'all, but I want to meet his sister.
Absolutely. He's so fucking chilling. He's just like, yeah, she's she's insane. I think I know where I was at in this, but the quote itself from my note, the quote of my notes is, yo, big time fucked. Like, I know this is how some empires are and or were, but god damn, directly quoted from my notes. So the sheer immensity of this one army that we see, and knowing that there are several others, and one of them is much larger, and one was much larger until he decided to pick a fight with three neighbors at the same time. Imagine picking a fight with three of your neighboring countries in that army for that side is still not the smallest one you have. Bro, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I do also just want to say how ridiculous it is to start fighting three different countries at once. Like, it's
dumb. Don't do that.
It's probably like rule number one for expansionist militaristic empires. Don't open more than one front at a time. Jesus Christ.
like you'd think.
But tells you a lot about the Emperor.
Yeah. Cocky.
He's just so powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he is, if that's still not his smallest army.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cocky motherfucker. And I will bring it up and talk a little bit more about it, but just the pure weight and gravity of the line, so you will tell those you meet what you have seen. Like,
yeah,
bro has the numbers and has the man force to back it up, but he is also playing a psychological game as much as he is physical war. Like, that's insane. Holy shit. What is... There's a line. Okay, look, I have not actually read it. I don't even know 100%, but I'm pretty sure it is a quote from Mein Kampf. It's demoralize the enemy from within. That is exactly what this is. Just like, hey, all your ambassadors came and saw my big ass armies. Let them know about that.
Don't fuck with us. It's gonna be bad.
It's gonna be bad. Don't do that.
My first one is a dislike. They are first getting there. Rose Thorne tells Evie, the Emperor made promises to the God King and first dedicate Doki that we would be safe. We have to trust that he's telling the truth. We know that he's not. So that's fun. That's super fun. Hooray. Good times are going to be had.
Psych, turns out Emperor Weishu's the good guy and Doki is the bad guy, and that's the battle.
Yeah, the super chill mountain people are definitely the bad guys.
Yeah.
Not the person showing off all
the
armies.
I mean, they pulled a skeleton out of the wall, so I mean, could be bad, right?
Turns out the mountains are made of bone.
That's why there are skeletons popping out.
Exactly. Exactly. Parhan, just joking around. We've already talked about him. He's hilarious. When Evie's looking at him and he's like, no, I'm the only one required to wear these. It makes it difficult for me to run away. Like,
I mean, true.
Just real nonchalant about it. I'm like, yeah, it keeps me here.
It also makes me wonder how long he's been there.
I like that Evie likes the story of Briar giving himself the tattoos, because she says she has spent so much time feeling stupid around Briar that it was comforting to know that he was stupid too. Like, I know that feeling. Like, I feel dumb a lot of times, but it's nice to know that the people around me, they can be dumb too. It's fine. It's all right. It's very comforting. On the tattoos, it's also growing underneath its fingernails. They're everywhere. It's so cool. It's so cool.
It really is.
It's so cool. So I want some.
Like, all I can imagine is him, like, pushing, like, 40, and they've officially, like, climbed up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just his entire body is a tattoo.
Yes.
I want to point out here, shout out to one of our fans. This is from way back when, back in like season 6. We posted the question, like, if you could have moving tattoos, what would they be of? And I believe somebody talked about a koi pond. And very cool.
Yeah, that the fish swimming around all over your body, that'd be really cool. That'd
be really
cool. My next one is when Parhan is guessing about whether Briar was a thief, and Briar's like, well, I'm reformed practically, but I can do more damage as a mage than I did as a thief. Like, oh yeah, he definitely can. You should see
buddy.
That thief he murdered.
You have done more damage. You already have done more damage, and this book is about going to war. So
yeah. So again, fun times all around. Fun times to be had. This is going to be a super chill, fun book. Hooray. We're not going to cry at all. No.
No.
I like the world building of Kombanpur, where Tarhan comes from. One of the realms of the sun. It's bad luck to kill a twin. I thought that was really cool world building. Like, and luckily for him, he's a twin, so bad luck to murder him. So let's just sell him off instead.
Hey, look, how else are you going to get rid of the heir?
Right? We got to get rid of him, but we can't murder him because it's bad luck. So what else am I going to do?
It does immediately say afterwards, I don't think it's the fact that he's scared of the bad luck. I think he's scared of my sister.
Yeah. But I also
which is why I want to meet her.
Right? It'd be really cool. But I also feel like, yeah, he might be scared of the sister, but if it's that's something that's in from one of the bad things that happens in his city, the people that would follow him probably would have an uprising. Be like, oh, we don't need you as our ruler because you murdered the twin and that's bad luck. And you're going to just cause bad juju on all of us if we have you as our ruler. So I feel like that's also part of it.
There goes Brittany with her wrinkled brain moves again.
Sometimes I have those.
Thinking like an evil mastermind.
Yes.
There you go.
It's all coming together.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or a message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
The theme I found was intimidation. The emperor brought everyone here so he could show off all his cool stuff and his armies and like, now go back and tell everyone what you see because this was just my small army. I got bigger ones to murder y'all with. Definitely intimidation.
Mine is ceremony.
That's a good one too.
Yeah. He has this big ceremony, but then also everything about the way they're dressed. I mentioned like Evie's clothes and having to wear three collars. I didn't mention all the makeup she's wearing. That would also suck.
My theme was sending a message.
Yes.
Parhan being their guide with the gold. I can't get over the gold shackles. Him being a prince and having him be the visitor's guide is telling of that he has the power to make this prince do that for him.
So watch your back because you could be next. Yeah. You could be my next plaything.
Mm-hmm. Plus showing the armies and all that. So he's definitely sending the message that the Emperor of Yangjing is ready to square up. So don't try it.
ready to throw hands at all times.
100%.
So mine is actually both of those. Pomp and circumstance. A lot of show, a lot of like... Mm-hmm. It's not just with like the emperor having to make these people do all of these things and these big ceremonies. It's also like we see it within like the group itself. Evie behaving because Rosethorn is stressed out. So there's a lot of like, look, I'm really well behaved. So I also had show of power. Obviously, like there's the big army, but we also see Panhan in chains. And so therefore, like, this is a show of power over someone else rather than a physical army of people. Even Briar, in a way, when he's got it, when they bring up his tattoos and him just being like, I can cause more damage as a mage than I ever could as a thief. Not really a show of power, but it kind of is.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Part 3 of our 3-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. Mine is don't assume that people are okay. Evie is bitching about all the clothes and all the makeup, and it's totally valid. And she keeps going like, but why are you so calm? Like, what's, why are you not freaking out the way I am? After the palanquin stops, she realizes that Rosethorn is very much not calm because the box is literally sprouting branches and flowers and vines to try and comfort her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh shit, like, you're not okay. Yeah, don't assume people are okay. Some people are very good at hiding it.
Yeah, mine was the exact same thing, but it also reminded me of it's Briar's book, when Triss and Nico have to follow the trail of the blue pox, and they have to go down in the sewers, and Triss is freaking out and mm-hmm. is like, oh my god, this is so gross, I hate this. And she realizes, oh, Nico probably hates this even more than I do. So I need to realize that he's also freaking out. It may not seem like it, but take other people into consideration as well. Because they probably are just better at hiding it than you are. They're probably freaking out as well.
Poor OCD.
I know.
Mine was... It's specifically pulled from the quote of, so you will tell those you meet what you have seen. Past Natalie did not elaborate. I just want you to know this. So
now you're going to be trying to just wing it. Thanks, Past Natalie.
Right. The point I was going to try and make was be careful of gossip. See, there's a difference between gossip and drama.
Hey, if I'm not part of the drama, I like watching other people's drama. Like, lay it on me. I'll eat some popcorn. If I'm not part of it, lay it on me. I want to know all the drama.
Is this why I sometimes read the YouTube comments?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
But the point I was going to try and make is be careful of said gossip and sticking your neb in
places they don't belong.
Yeah. It can and will come back to bite you.
Mine was that earlier section we were talking about, where I almost said Triss, where Evie and Rosethorn are in the palanquin, and she realizes how stressed out Rosethorn is. My personal magic is communicate your feelings, especially with your friends. I'm literally going through this right now. Not personally, luckily, but I've got two close friends who have had kind of a stressful time the past 2 months because one of them moved and like the other one was like helping them move and like offered to help, but like it's a fucking mess. But they've been friends forever. Maybe not forever, but they've been very close friends, especially the past couple of years. And like now it's kind of all falling apart. And I'm like, because they're like texting each other about what's going on and like not actually articulating why they feel a certain way or why they thought that what one friend said was taken the wrong way, talk to each other in a calm, reasonable manner, understand what the other side is saying, if that's wrong, like articulate it in a calm way, and see if you can figure it out. I hope they figure it out.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 3 of Battle Magic. The Emperor had turned his attention to Briar, who bowed and then gazed at the man with his most innocent expression fixed on his face. From Parahan, he heard something very much like a smothered snort. What do you think of the review of our troops this afternoon? Are you now eager to set aside your trowel and watering can for a sword and shield? Briar smiled. If it pleases your Imperial Majesty, I already get into plenty of trouble with plants. I shake to think of the kind of mischief I would find with conventional weapons. Interesting to find a youth who does not hanker for battle. The Emperor raised a finger. A servant with a tray appeared from the shadows behind the throne. He knelt, offering the tray to Emperor Weishu. Another servant, who had been standing just behind the Emperor's elbow, pressed forward and offered him one of the small porcelain cups on the tray. The Emperor drained it. As he returned to the standing servant, he asked Briar, "Are the stories true? Are you a full Nan Shur at such a youthful age?" Briar swallowed a sigh. He'd been asked this question from Emelan to Yan Jing, and he was heartily bored with it. Slowly, he reached into the front of his robes. There was a movement behind the Emperor. Four mages stepped up to stand beside the throne on Weishu's left. Two were men in black scholar's robes and caps, one a woman in scholar's robes, and a fourth a Mamander of the deserts west of Gyeongshi, clad in the head-to-toe gray veil of those mages who worship the god Mohun. A knitted screen covered his, or her, eyes. These were all imperial mage guards and warriors, among Weishu's closest advisors. To his right were warrior and slave servants, the former being the only ones allowed to carry weapons in the room, the latter to wait upon their master. "We must be careful," the Emperor explained. "A Nan Shur is the only kind of assassin who could get so close to us." "Understandable, Your Majesty, but we have not journeyed so far from home and lived by being stupid," Rosethorn said. For a moment, Briar knew their standing hung on the Emperor's sense of humor. Then the man laughed, and everyone in the great chamber relaxed. Except Parahan, Briar noticed. He had never tensed up in the first place. Briar lifted his medallion free of his robes. On the front of the silvery medal, along the rim, his name and Rosethorn's were inscribed. At the middle, his magic was symbolized by the image of a tree. On the back was the spiral that meant he had studied at Winding Circle Temple. It was the Mohanite who came down the steps, walking between the throne and Parahan. The captive man tugged his leash hard enough to make it jingle, hinting that he considered tripping the mage. The Mohanite ignored him and stopped before Briar to extend a gloved hand palm up. Good of him to ask under the circumstances, Briar thought. He held the medallion out to the length of the silk cord and placed it in the mage's hand. The Mohanite turned it over in his fingers, saying nothing. Sometimes Briar wished he'd never gotten the thing. Their teachers had given the medallions to Briar and his three foster sisters 2 years ago, before he, Triss, and Daja had set forth on their wanderings. It was rare for mages so young to have them. Medallions were the proof that they were accredited mages, able to practice magic without supervision and to teach. The four were forbidden to wear them publicly before they were 18 to prevent trouble. At this point, Briar was sure he wasn't going to wear his openly even at 18. Older mages were often furious to see it on him. Dedicate initiate Ducky hadn't seemed to care. Most mages didn't receive theirs until they were in their 20s. Briar hated the aggravation. The Mohanite gently placed the medallion on Briar's chest, gave him a small bow, and then climbed to the dais. He raised his robe slightly to climb the steps. When he reached Parahan's leash, he placed one foot on it firmly, looking down at the captive. The big man replied with a wide grin. He placed his palms together and bowed. The Mohanite shook his head slightly and returned to his place beside the other mages. "Truly impressive," the Emperor said. "I should have expected as much from a student of the great mage Rosethorn." Briar bowed, wondering if his spine would start to curve with much more of this. "I will never be what she is, Your Imperial Majesty." There was humor in the Emperor's eye as he said, "And modest, are you certain you are a youth of 16 years? There was a ripple of laughter among the listening courtiers, though no change of expression on the faces of the mages that Briar could see. Briar himself chose to smile and bow again. She has trained me very well, Your Imperial Majesty, he explained. I learned manners under many blood-curdling threats.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us. Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellow is for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellow is for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
Also, before everyone goes,
I'm so excited.
We have an embosser.
Hell yeah. I just showed up one day, everybody. We don't know who did
it.
So
cool.
Whoever did it, thank you. Shout out.
You're amazing.
This is very cool.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.